Blog Talk Radio.
Have some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some lonely nights. But when I look around and I think things over, you know what? All of my good days outweigh my bad days.
God bless you. God bless you. You are listening to The Burning Bush with Apostle Alexander Lakimi. Are you there, sir?
I am.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Would you like to get started right now?
Whenever, be fine.
Okay, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yes, we'd like to say good evening to all the radio fans. We have a wonderful message today that God has given us to share to the radio world and to all that is listening. We want to talk tonight about something that is very special and very unique, and it is important to each and every one of us. And that I'm asking a question tonight. God gave me a message in form of a question. Are you really saved, or are you just really carrying the name? Are you really saved, or are you just really carrying the name? Now, one might say, well, why would you ask me that? Because we got so many people out here that is really not saved. They've really not been born again. That Jesus Christ is not Lord and Savior of their life. They changed the way they're living. They changed their lifestyle. They got into the church. And that's all that they did, and they think they've been born again. They think they're saved because they're a goody-two-shoe now. They don't do nothing. They don't cuss. They don't drink. And they don't hang at the clubs no more. And they don't run around no more. And now that they stopped doing those things that they used to do that were wrong, they think now that somebody can convince them that you're saved. Some got a nerve to say, I'm just as saved as you are. But I want you to know that if you're just as saved as I am, then you're making a mistake anyway, because you don't need to be comparing your salvation to me, because I don't have no salvation. Salvation comes from God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we got some strip to the night, to back up tonight. So I want to ask everyone to search yourself, take an inventory of yourself. Are you really saved, or are you just carrying the name? Because, see, I've been pastoring over 40-some years almost. When I pastor church in and out of the state, in and out of the county, in and out of the nation, and I've pastored people that was of age, people that have been in the church for years, people that have been in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and was in the church, and all this time on the deacon board and on the mother board and some on the choir, some ushering, some on the trustee board, and did not know Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. When the altar call was called and they got up and got saved, I appreciate that. I'm glad they got up, but it shocked me. These people have been in the church all the years and didn't know Jesus as their Savior. It's bad to go to hell in the church. Please excuse me. Don't mean to be mean with just getting started out tonight, but I've got to be blunt. It's bad to go to eternal judgment, to be lost in the church. Sitting on a church pool, sitting in the choir, sitting in the pulpit, on the usher board, the mother board, the trustee board. I did hear God say, depart from me. I know you're not, for your work is iniquity. And Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees when he was teaching it today, he said, many are going to say, Lord, Lord. And he said, I'm going to say, I don't know you. Depart from me, because your work was in iniquity. Now, understand what he said. He didn't say because you committed adultery. He didn't say because you drank liquor or smoked dope. He said, I never knew you. That means they ain't never been born again. Because the scripture tells us plain today that God married to the backslider. Even if you backslide, you've been saved, and you were saved, went to backslide. The Bible said God is married to you. But these people, he said, I don't even know you. Your work was in iniquity. You ain't never get saved. Yeah, you did what you did. you prophesied, and you held a position in the church, and you were the president of the choir, the usher board, and the mother board, and the deacon board. You were the ruling elder. You were an apostle according to your name, but you never let me convert you. Your soul was never saved. You were never born again. You never let me give you a new nature. You kept the nature that you had. And for that reason, depart from me. I don't know. He didn't say, I used to know you. He said, I ain't never know you. That's bad when somebody tell you they ain't never knew you. You done been sitting in the church all this time, every Sunday, 52 Sundays in a year, and God don't know you? That's kind of bad for God to have to say. But he said, I don't know you for your works. And then in other words, when you're not born again, when you're not saved, when you don't make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, I know it sounds bad. You singing in the choir, you singing like a hummingbird, and when you sing, people fall all out in the spirit. And then they get all anointed and get all saved and sanctified. Do you not know others can get saved by your life, the things you do in the spiritual realm, and you'll be lost? Yeah, you'll be lost, but your gift will be saved. Because your gift didn't come from you. Your gift came from God. So God told him, depart from me. I know you're not. For your work was in iniquity. All this time you were lost. All this time I sent preachers and prophets and evangelists to the church. All this time I sent you to Bible school. I sent you to Sunday school. And then you sat there and did not get saved. Now, if you know the example of a hog, and the Bible talks about a hog. If you wash a hog off and clean him up real good, put him on a $500 pair of shoes, put a nice, expensive, rich Rolex on his leg, put a three-piece suit on him, maybe $1,500, comb his hair real good and clean him all up and put him on some of the nicest perfume that he could wear and turn that hog loose, that hog ain't going somewhere and sit in a nice place to stay clean. The hog is going right back to the mud because, first of all, the hog don't understand why you're doing it to him in the first place, because that's the nature of that hog, for him to go back to the mud. And so I ain't mad at the hog. I'm mad at you because you don't want to know no better. The hog know better. Hog went right back to where his nature took him, and that was back to the hog pen. And the Bible told us, be not like the hog that who was clean and went back to the mirror, or the dog that threw up what he eat and then turn around and eat again. That's unclean. That's dirty. So the hog went back where his nature was, because his nature was that of a hog. So he did what his nature told him to do. And that's what it is in salvation. It's not enough to say you saved. You got to be born again. God got to give you a I might repeat myself several times, but it's okay. Because, you know, I was looking at the highway the other day as I was going up and down the highway here in the country. It may not be doing it in the city because the city have a stoplight, but out here in the country, they're putting up like 6 stop signs now before you get to the stop sign. So it's impossible for you to run that stop sign when you're going to meet in a quarter of a mile. You're going to run into 6 stop signs before you get to the stop sign, because for the safety of the people. So because a lot of people get hurt at the crossroads. So the the Department of Highway is putting up 6 stop signs, 3 on each side, before you get to the main stop sign. And that's for the safety. And so if I repeat something over there, it's for your soul salvation. You must be born again. You can't think you've been born again. You must have a new nature. Jesus Christ must have come in you and saved you. You cannot have that old Adamic nature that Adam gave you. You got to have that new nature that came through Christ Jesus. So he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And so it's sad to sit in the church on your way to judgment, eternal damnation, because you thought you were saved. I come by to encourage you this evening. Don't think you say, know that you're saved. If you have any question about your salvation, if you have any question about whether you've been born again, you need to get back on your knees. You need to go back to the altar. You need to ask God to forgive you for all your sin and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I'm going to give a few scriptures now. I just want to lay a foundation before I got started. I feel the anointing coming in here now. And I want you to understand that I'm here this afternoon to help somebody to search yourself, have an inventory of yourself. Are you really saved, or have you been fooling somebody? Have you been putting on a front all this time and sitting in the church, in the choir, in the position in the church, and God going to say, depart from me, I don't even know you? You never partake of my spirit. You never let me convert you. You never let me change you. But the Bible says old things pass away. Behold, all things. Come on, you still drinking. You tell me what I mean, drinking bad. You still smoke. You still doing the same thing you were doing before you got saved. It tells you that something ain't right because he gives you a new nature. Listen, he take that old nature out. And in this new nature is salvation. In this new nature is do right power. The Bible says you don't even have a desire to see him no more. Because in the new nature, he gives you that desire not to see him. He takes out that old nature with desire to see him, and he gives you a new nature that desire not to see him. So you have no reason running around wanting to do wrong all the time because you have been given a new nature in Christ Jesus not to see him. Huh? And you got to know that it's through Christ Jesus, not through Muhammad, not through Mary, Mother Jesus, and all these other different things they got going now. Telling you, you've been born again. If you got a sacred heart, Jesus said, if you come up any other way except through him, you're like a thief and a robber. You're like a thief and a robber. And no thief and no robber ain't going to make it to the kingdom. Jesus said, I am the door to the sheep coat. If any man come up any other way other than me, he come up the wrong way. He lost. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. One writer said, we might as well not move at all. Except we move to him. John 3:16 said, you can write this down. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And see, nowadays people are segregating this thing, making it look like that salvation is just for a selected group of people or a selected nation or just for the United States of America. It ain't for Russia. It ain't for Afghanistan. It ain't for China. It ain't for France. It ain't for Italy. I want you to know when Jesus died on the cross, he died for every person. He died for every nation. He died for every country. He died for every nationality. He died for every race. So when we preach this gospel, we got to preach it that way, to every country, every nation, every race, every nationality, every color. There is no prejudice in this. It ain't a white thing. It ain't a black thing. And we're making it so confusing. We make it look so bad for people trying to get saved because we confused ourselves. We got it all in the picture, a black Jesus. Then we got a white Jesus. Then we got a Jewish Jesus. And the scripture said, make no images of the Lord. You weren't there when he was back here. You only know what folk told you. You don't know what Jesus looked like. The scripture said, make no images of him. Oh, they say he had wool and that. He hair was like wool and all that. I have served notice. I said we was not here when all that was going on. And it doesn't matter because this thing is in the spirit. This thing ain't about the outward appearance, whether or not. But the scripture tells he was a Jew. And we know what a Jew is. We know the complexion of a Jew. We know the nationality of Jews. We know the nature of Jews. And we know good and well that we ain't no Jew. So we need to quit fighting over that. I ain't no basketball player. So ain't need me putting on a uniform. Somebody, we need to stay in our lane because we try to do something to put up a front to somebody else. And we got a nerve to say, well, you know, God sees everybody the same, and we all white in his eyes. We are not all white in God's eyes. And we need to quit telling that story to people because if you black, you black. If you white, you white. If you're a Japanese, you're a Japanese. If you're a Chinese, you're a Chinese. And that's what you are in God's eyes. Yeah, we're not all the same color in God's eyes. Why do you think God made a different color and different now? Now they're going to sit there and look at us like we're the same color. And we say things and we back it and we stand on it. No. God knows what color we are, but he loves us all the same. He has no respect to a person. No matter what color, what race we are, he loves us all the same. Isn't that nice? He so loved the world. He has no respect to a person. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter what you've done. God still loves you that he gave his only son, and he didn't do it after you got saved. He did it before you got saved. He laid down his life for everybody, every color, every nation, every nationality. I said I'll keep on repeating myself. I want you to understand, don't let nobody make you feel bad that your race or my race, it ain't none of our race. This thing is about Jesus Christ. And him being crucified, he died on the cross that every man, woman, boy, and girl, might have a right to the tree of life. Let's go to Acts 4:12. Oh, this is getting good to me. Acts 4:12. if you got it, I'm going to be reading it while you're trying to find it. Act so and tell. We're talking about salvation tonight. I want to know, are you saved? Or are you just putting on a front? You're trying to fool somebody on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And on Monday morning, the Lord don't know you. You know, he said, depart from me. I know you're not. Huh? If you change on Monday morning, you might need to check your salvation. Because this thing will keep you on Monday. It'll keep you on Tuesday. It'll keep you on Wednesday. You know I go on through the rest of the week if I want to. This thing will keep you all week long. That's just how powerful it was. Oh, this salvation that saved me will save you too. Ain't no difference in it. God had no respect to person. He's not slack concerning his promise. His grace is sufficient. I don't care what your hang-up is. Well, Pastor, I got a habit. God will break that habit, baby. He told Paul his grace was sufficient. That same grace that was sufficient for Paul is sufficient for you. All you got to do is let it work. Let that grace work in you because it's powerful. Acts 4:12 said, neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Yeah, no other name. If you get saved under some other name, you better check your salvation. Ain't no other name under heaven but in Jesus Christ. No other name. I'm sorry, I don't know what they taught you when you was a little boy. I don't know what they taught you from your school and the nation that you were in and the class you came out of, and your teacher didn't know what he was talking about. Only through Christ Jesus can you be saved. Thank God for Muhammad. Thank God for Buddha. Thank God for Mary. Y'all, listen, please let me help somebody. Mary had the same responsibility as you had, we have, and that is to be an instrument in the hands of God. All Mary was an instrument for God to use, a transportation center. That's what she was, a transport. So he could transport his Holy Spirit through Mary, and she'd be born out of her womb. That was the only job Mary had. After that, Mary just as simple as you and me. She ain't to be worshipped, ain't to be hanging no red cross on your chest, falling on your knees, talking about Mary. Baby, Mary ain't going to save you. Mary can't save you. Mary sent somebody who can save you. Mary had somebody who can save you. His name was Jesus. But other than that, Mary can't save you. I'm sorry, I don't mean to break your sacred heart, but I come to break your heart to let you know that you need to let that go and believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Oh, I know somebody mad now, but that's all right. It's the truth anyhow. Only through Christ Jesus can we be saved. And then we're still running to the Pope. We're still running to the Pope. We're still telling people our business behind the curtain. Don't you know when Jesus died on the cross, he told the veil in twain? He said, you ain't got to go to the Pope no more. You ain't got to go to the Vatican no more. You ain't got to go behind the curtain no more. He said that so you could come to him, to the holies of holies. No, man, no more you got to ask anybody. Just ask somebody that. He said, I'll write my word in your heart and put it in your mind. When that veil tore and swang, when Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Ghost reached out and tore that veil and twang so that everybody could see behind the veil. You can go into the holy now. You can go behind the veil now. Oh, my, in the name of Jesus. Acts 16:31. Stay with me just a little bit. Oh, we fit to get on the freeway. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Do you not know that you can believe on the Lord? And what happened is, husband, wife, mama, daddy, you got to first start believing in the house. And when you believe in the house, then the children start believing. Then the grandchildren start believing. Then the great-great-grandchildren start believing. And the Bible said until the fourth generation, you can save even the fourth generation. If you only believe, your children cannot believe in what you don't believe. Your children can't follow what you don't follow. Your children can't have what you don't give them. He said, train them up. Teach them the word. To the children and your children's children, to a fourth generation, tell them Jesus Christ is Lord. Tell them that Jesus Christ is Lord. You ain't got to turn no flip. You ain't got to preach no powerful sermon. But set your children down and tell them that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory and honor of God. He's my Redeemer. He's our sustainer. He's our hope in the time of despair. He done lifted up my head. He's my joy when I'm sad. Oh, he's my hope when I'm lost. Oh, somebody help me just a little bit. He's the food on my table and the clothes on my back. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, go with me to 2 Timothy 1:9. Y'all trying to get to the start this evening. Go with me to 2 Timothy 1:9. 2 Timothy, why are you trying to find it? This is what it says. Who has saved us? and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Oh, my God. You mean to tell me, Pastor, this happened yesterday? No, this thing happened before you was even born. Even before God created the world, God knew he was going to have to do this. The Bible says even before the world begun, even before the devil messed up and did what he did, God already knew the devil was going to mess up. God already knew man was going to mess up. And even before the world was created, he had made a plan to send Christ Jesus to redeem us from the curse of the law. See, in Adam, when Adam was sitting in the garden, let me slow down a little bit. This ain't getting good. When Adam sitting in the garden, he brought a curse on man. Man was not cursed. Man was free. Man had was a free agent to go in God's presence in the afternoon. God would come and visit man in the afternoon, and God would fellowship with man, and man would fellowship with God, and him and God would have a good time. But the devil broke that fellowship, because when Adam and Eve took up to eat of the forbidden tree, oh, you know, they said, well, the apple, we ain't going to argue about what that was. But anyway, they took a fruit off the tree that was forbidden, a tree of life and death. He told them, don't touch that tree. And the day you touch the earth, you're going to die. So long story short, when Adam and Eve took off of that tree, they brought damnation in the garden. See, Adam and Eve were never meant to die. God created them to live forever. They're supposed to be living forever like a spirit, like angels. But after they sinned in the garden, it killed that. God stopped that. God brought that to naught, and now death got to come. But because God told them to live forever, it took them almost forever to die. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Because God told them to live forever, it took almost forever. They were 900-some years old before they died because God had told them to live forever. So God started something in the garden that the devil interfered. But even though the devil interfered with it, God is doing it again through Christ Jesus. God is bringing this thing back in a circle, back in a loop. He's bringing it back where it was in the beginning, that we can all go to heaven and like the garden, we can be with God, Jesus in heaven, and never die no more. So this work was done even before you and I were born. Oh, Psalm 62:1, stay with me just a little bit. To the chief musician, to Zeruiah, a song of David. Truly my soul waited upon God, from him cometh my salvation. I want to tell y'all, salvation comes from God. It don't come from your job. It don't come from your goody two life. The Bible says, by grace are we saved. Listen to this verse. I love this verse right now. I can quote it all day. By grace are we saved. Listen to it. It's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. What you talking about, Pastor? We are saved by grace. Unmarried. We don't deserve it. God just gave it to us. By God's grace. God, his unmarried grace. And we undeserved. We don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve to be born again. We don't deserve to have salvation. But God gave us through Christ Jesus. Undeserved grace was given to us. By grace are we saved. Now the writer says, not of ourselves. That means I didn't do nothing. There was nothing I did to do to save myself. So it's not of myself. It's a gift that God gave us. It's the gift of God. Wait a minute. Why did Paul say that? Because some think, because they're so good, they ain't drank no liquor, they ain't smoked no dope, ain't committed no fornication, ain't committed no adultery, ain't chewed no tobacco, ain't beat off no stick. They think that they born again because they got a perfect record. But it's not a word, baby. It ain't of your word. I'm so glad that you got a perfect life. I'm so glad you ain't made no mistake, but I should have noticed. That ain't what saved you. It's not a word that you any man to boss. So you ain't got no business bossing because you didn't save yourself. I didn't save myself. I didn't get saved the way you got saved. You didn't get saved the way I got saved, but never let me save. That's all that matters. Oh, let's go to Psalm 62:1. Go to Acts 2:21. Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ain't that something? These verses are all talking about the same thing. Whosoever calls Don't let nobody make you feel so bad that you can't call on the Lord. The Lord will say, you don't care what mistake you made. Pastor, I killed somebody. Pastor, I did this. Pastor, I did that. Pastor, I feel so bad that I'm not worried to be saved. No, you ain't. You sure ain't. You sure told the truth. I ain't worried to be saved either, but I ain't going to argue with you about that. Ain't none of us worried to be saved. That's why he gave us grace. That's why he gave us that unmerited grace. Ain't none of us worried to be saved. And God knew what you done. Yeah, and what you did was bad, but that's all right. That grace will find you. Right, the way he told Paul, his grace is sufficient. It don't matter how low you are. It doesn't matter how bad you are. I was in prison. That grace found me. They had locked me up in prison. They're going to throw away the key. I'm facing around 100 years in prison. Don't know when I'm going to get out. Amen. And see, in prison, you just can't walk into prison without permission from the warden or the gate guard or the superintendent of the prison. Every prison have a superintendent. You have to go to him before you even talk to any of the inmates in there, and he got to give them permission. But Jesus didn't go to none of them. He came to the wall on a Sunday morning, came to the wall, saved my soul, and it wasn't none of their business. Saved my soul right in their eyes. They couldn't lock Jesus up. Jesus didn't have to get no passport. He didn't get no permission. He came in and saved my soul and went back where he went. The Bible said we don't know which way he's coming, and we don't know where when he goes, because he is the Spirit. He fell in there that Sunday morning. Don't you know that warden would have saw Jesus in there and said something? Don't you know if the superintendent would have saw Jesus in there messing with me and said something? But they didn't see Jesus messing with me. Didn't even know Jesus was talking to me. Didn't even know Jesus was converting me. They didn't even know Jesus was saving me, but he did. Oh, this is exciting. I love this. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, and adulterers, and adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. If you're still doing the things you were doing before you got born again, you are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. I just come out to tell you, whatsoever you sow, that shall you reap. Huh? He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Quit fooling yourself. Come on, if you ain't been truly born again, you know you're still doing tipping and yeah. Well, you know what you're doing. Behind closed doors, no one knows what goes on behind closed doors. Don't let that song make you lose out. End up in hell. Because if somebody do know who what you're going on, for the eyes of the Lord go to and fro through all the earth, beholding the good and the evil. He see what I do. He see what you do. He see what all us do. And he going to judge us, the Bible said, according to the word. So when he come back, he going to have his reward with him. And he going to judge us according to the word that been done in our body. Ain't that something? So, sit down and have an inventory. I didn't say, well, you were making a mistake. I said, you know that your lifestyle is that of fornicating. Your lifestyle is that of adulterer. You're not only cheating on with somebody you ain't married, but you're cheating on God. If you with God on Sunday and the devil on Monday, you're committing adulterer. You're an adulterer. You loving God and the devil too. And God said you can't love him and the devil too. God on Sunday and the devil all week long at the club on Monday through Saturday. Hello? You're an effeminate person. Somebody told you it's okay. If you love him, you love her, she loves you. You love him, he loves you. Listen, y'all, please don't let this effeminate spirit cause you to lose out. God destroyed the whole city because of homosexuality. God destroyed the whole city because of lesbianism, because of femininity, masculinity. He destroyed the whole city because men were loving men and women were loving men. Paul said in the last day we're burning in flesh one to another. The woman will lose her desire to be with a man, and the man will lose his desire to be with a woman, and they want to be with one another. But Paul said this is an abomination. And if God destroyed Solomon and Gomorrah, can I share something with you? This is what God got to do. That God allowed it to go on now, and he allowed men to love men and women to love women, then God got to go all back, way back to Solomon and Gomorrah and forgive them, take them out of hell and forgive them for sending them into hell for committing that sin. And God ain't fit to do that because God don't make no mistake. So I come out to tell you, if you caught up in this, by the grace. I love you. I'm not saying that to judge you, make you feel bad. I ain't trying to criticize you or nothing, but it's my job as an apostle. Ha ta ba bo 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 shame. It's my job as an apostle to snatch your soul out of hell. And that's what I come this afternoon. That snatch you. I don't care if I don't get but one of you. I want to get you all. But if I get one, I feel happy that I got one. Come out of that femininity. Get your act together, baby. Get rid of that unnatural affection. Got you loving another man and loving another woman. And you a woman loving another woman, a man loving another. Get out of it. It's wrong. It's going to lead you into destruction. You can't go to heaven with that in you, baby. I don't care what nobody told you. I don't care how many churches they built and the pastor gay and the pastor got a natural spirit in him and the church is likewise. And they think it's okay. And they think somebody's judging them and somebody feel bad. They just talking about, ain't nobody talking about you. We're trying to save your soul. We're trying to get you to heaven, baby. Let me lead that along, going down to Romans 10 and 10. So with the heart, man, believing in the righteousness, and with the mouth, confession, and made unto salvation. Romans 10 and 10. Listen, you cannot be saved until you first believe in your heart. You got to believe that Mary, that Jesus was born by the Virgin Mary. He suffered on a Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day, he rose from the dead, declared victory over the grave, death, and hell. He was going back to the Father to prepare a place for us in his kingdom. He would come back and he promised to judge the world and deliver the righteous. Ooh, help me just a little bit. You got to believe that Jesus was born by the Virgin Mary, born without a man being involved. The Holy Ghost impregnated her, and she got pregnant. And that's how Jesus was born. And you got to confess that with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and that God raised him from the dead, because they carried him into judgment hall and judged him. They carried him up on Golgotha Hill, and they killed him. They crucified him. But he rose on the third day morning. The Bible says if you believe that, you shall be saved. That's what salvation is, just that simple. It's simple. You just simply believe it. Pastor, I'm something else. No, you don't need to do nothing else. Why you want to make it so hard when it's so easy? All you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. But what I just told you to do, believe in your heart, confess to your mouth the Lord Jesus, and that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Oh, Titus, come here, Titus. Titus 2, 1 through 12. Titus 2, 1 through 12. Y'all stay with me a little while. This is getting good. Titus 2, 1 through 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Baby, you can't call yourself a Christian, and you still living ungodly. You still living worldly, lustly, drunk, righteously. Christ came to give us not only a new nature, but a changed life. He come give you a better way of living to take you out of the club. He said, come out from among them. You sitting there talking about you've been born again over in that corner of that beer in your hand and that alcohol in your hand and fit to go to the motel when you leave there. And you said you've been born and going to sing in the choir on Sunday morning. He said, come out from among them. And be ye separated, said the Lord, and touch not those unclean things. Oh, that's why the enemy didn't want this message this afternoon, but he wouldn't give it anyway. He said, come out from among them. Come out from the club. You've been born again now. Yes, it's okay if you went back 2 or 3 days after you first got saved, but you've been saved 5 years now. Why are you still at the club? Come out from among them. It's okay. God understand that when we first bathe. The Bible says God winks on those things. When we first saved, when we first bathe, we fall, we make mistakes. Because a baby going to make mistakes before he start walking. But here you is. Here you is, apostle. Here you is, a prophet. Here you is, evangelist. And still stopping by the motel. And it ain't because you were out of town preaching no revival either. You had to have a place to rest. Help me just a little bit. Huh? We deny these lustful, ungodly things. We're holy now. We're righteous now. We got to show the world that somebody can't live right. The world thinks can't nobody live right no more because we're living wrong. But we got to let the world know we can live right. Titus 2:11 says, by grace we are saved. This ain't salvation. It came to bring us godliness, to deliver us from worldly lust, so we can live sober. You can't live sober. You can't live righteous. You can't live godly. And when the world sees you living godly, they're going to come running. And what must I do to say? Oh, Luke 19 and 10, help me just a little bit. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to save the lost, and he need us to help him. He need us to let him use our gifts so he can help him. All we do is go to church and go back home. The church, the seller can't come to church because we got church still there. We need to get over so the seller can get it. Actually, can I tell you something? Don't need to make nobody mad, but the church ain't for us. No, it's church for the sinner. He said he came not for the righteous, but to bring sinners to repentance. But sinners can't come to repentance when all we do is have church all the time. We don't go in the highway. We don't go to the byway. We don't go to the hedges. Only time we went in the hedges when we were on our way home, there was a hedges in our yard. But we got to go into the byways, highways, and hedges and compel them. That uncle of yours, that aunt of yours, that cousin of yours, that niece of yours, that relatives of yours, that kinfolk of yours, that maybe you call gay, but the Bible said it's an unnatural affection. You call them a legend, but the Bible said it's an unnatural affection. Go to them, hug them, embrace them, tell them you love them. You're so righteous that they're scared. They're scared of God because of you, because you make God look like he's fearsome. You make God look like he's invincible. You make God to them like he don't want them, that they're unclean, they're nasty, they're dirty, they're unreachable. That's the way you make them feel, and so that's why they don't come to God, because you won't let the light so shine. God is a God of love. Didn't he love you? Didn't he save you? Didn't he forgive you? What make you think he can't forgive them? He had no respect to a third person. He have no numbness on sin. Listen, Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man cometh to seek and to save that which is. If you lost, I come out to tell you, Jesus is looking for you. He want to save you. Why you keep hearing this about salvation and don't get saved? Why you keep turning the deaf ear? Why you keep putting it off for tomorrow? Why you keep saying no to God when God been so good to you? When he woke you up this morning and started you on your way? Oh, let's go to 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some meet slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, that it all should come to repentance. See, that's why you still alive and ain't saved. Just that last verse script I just read. The reason you still alive and you ain't saved is because God is faithful. He loves you. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. He don't want you to die in your sin. He knows if he take you right now, hell going to be your home. And God don't want you to go to hell. God loves you so much he sent his son to die on the cross, so you won't have to go to hell. And that's why he letting you live, because he knows if you die now, you ain't right. Your soul ain't right. And that he's long-suffering. Don't think that he forgot. Don't think he don't know that you ain't living right. He know every mistake you made. He know every hurt on your head. How God don't know you ain't living right when every hurt on your head is numbered and every spur fall to the ground, God know about it. Help me just a little bit. God knows you ain't in the right place. God know your life is messed up. Somebody said jacked up. God know your life jacked up from the flow up. He know you ain't living nothing, but he love you. He's patient. He's long-suffering. It ain't that God absent-minded. He's slack. He don't understand. Yeah, I got God one on God. God don't know I ain't living right. You better quit letting that devil fool you. God know every mistake you make, every wrong you done. But he love you so much that he gonna give you another chance. Oh, I gotta get another verse. I gotta get another verse. Hey, this is good, y'all. I gotta get another verse in here. Luke 18:27. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. I want you to know that you ain't no impossible creator. You ain't no impossible creation. You ain't no impossible creature that God can't save you. Ain't nothing that God can't do. I don't care how bound you up. I don't care how messed you up. You know, I would get saved, but honey, if God save you up, he'll clean you up. Did you hear what I say? If God save you up, he'll clean you up. See, what I didn't know, nobody told me when I first got saved. I got saved 2 or 3 times before I really got saved because I didn't know no better. But I did not know that God not only wanted to forgive you. The Bible said confess your fault. God is just and faithful to forgive you of all your sin. Then at the end of that verse, it says, and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. See, when God cleanses you, you won't go back and do that no more. What we do is get saved and don't get cleansed. You got a lot of people got saved, but they didn't get cleansed. They got saved from the club, but they didn't get cleansed from the club. Hello. They got saved from alcohol, but they didn't get cleansed from alcohol. They got saved from fornicating, but they still fornicate because they didn't get clean from fornication. Jesus come to cleanse you. He come to cleanse you. My job was to, when I was a little boy, my job was to take care of, I say home and take care of other kids. And in those days, parents will leave you home taking care of kids. Some of them kids ought to be taking care of me. Bigger they would, but I was taking care of kids. And my job was to wash the diapers and keep back. No, they had diapers. They didn't have pamphlets to throw away now. They had diapers, and no diapers were white. And said, I always did a good job. My daddy loved the way I did the diapers. I washed them in Clorox, the clean water, and them diapers be just a, ooh, they'd be just a clean and pure white. My dad would just black them. But one day I took a shortcut. Because I was in the hair, and I waited till the last minute to wipe the diapers anyway. I waited about the last hour of that day, and then I went and washed those diapers. And I did it in the hair. And my daddy looked out there and saw them brown spots in them diapers. And hello, they weren't white pretty like they supposed to be before. And he called me and beat me because he said, you didn't take your time. You didn't do your best. I come out and share some of my yard. Some of you out there ain't doing your best. You can do better than what you do. You can do better in that walk with the Lord. You just living slack because you want to. Because God is forgiving you. He forgive you. He's gracious and sufficient. And you taking advantage of God's grace. I come out and tell you, man, don't take advantage of God's grace like that. Come on and be real. Come on and surrender. Come on, give all God your all in all. Is that all right? Give him all. Can I read another verse? Mark 16:16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Do you not know that if you don't get saved, you damned? Do you not know if you're not born again right now, you damned? It's only by God's grace and mercy that you live it. And Satan know you damned. That's why he's trying to kill you. That means that you already been signed up for hell. If you die right now, hell is gonna be your home. Right now, you damned that if you die in your sin, eternal judgment is already on you. He said, you damned. He said, he that believes, Mark 16:16, write it down so you can read it again, all you that are not saved. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. If you believe on Jesus Christ and be baptized, you're going to be saved. I don't care what nobody tells you. You're going to be saved. But if you don't believe, you are damned. You shall be damned. You shall be brought into eternal damnation, eternal judgment, where you're going to be cast out of God's presence, where you're going to be lost forever. Whew. I'm going to do this verse right here. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many shall there be which go therein at. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now the way to hell is broad. The Bible said that hell is enlarging itself. Do you not know that God made hell a certain amount of size, but because people don't want to live right, God had to make hell bigger? The Bible said hell have enlarged itself. God didn't enlarge it because he wanted more people there. He had to enlarge it because more people coming. Y'all understand me? God did not enlarge hell because he knew a lot of people was coming. God made it a certain size. But because more people are sinning, because people want to go to hell and don't want to go to heaven because they don't want to get right, hell enlarged itself. God didn't enlarge it. Hell enlarged itself to take the people in because the people did not want to live right. Wow. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. The way to hell, a lot of people on that road. And that's why people running behind a big crowd. You better quit running behind that crowd. Do you not know in the day of old, only 8 people got saved? And then in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, only 3 got saved? God ain't looking for no big number, because he can get a number if he want to. So I come out and say this afternoon, and I'm going to turn it back over. Are you saved? Oh, I could just go on. This is real good. This is juicy. I love this. Hebrews 9:28. Can I do one more? Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered the burden of sin to many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. See, when you've been born again, you can look for Jesus to come back one day. He appeared unto every man, but only to them that have been born again is going to see him when he comes. Huh? Only the pure heart is going to see him when he comes. When the cry is made, and when the rapture takes place, only the dead in Christ is going to get up. The rest of you that ain't been born again, you're going to lay right there. You ain't going to move. You're going to lay right there in the grave until the second resurrection. But the Bible says the second resurrection have no life. So ask yourself a question. Are you saved, or are you just trying to fool somebody? Are you just carrying that name in Jesus' name? Amen.
God Almighty, amen and amen. Is there any closing remarks you'd like to say or final prayer?
I just ask everyone to please take an inventory of themselves and don't sit up in church. Don't go through this life of making like and thinking that you're saved when you have not been. Ask the Lord if you ain't sure you're saved. And if you ain't saved, I encourage you to get saved. Don't die and go to a hell you ain't been invited to. God have not invited nobody to hell. When God made hell, your name was not even on it. God was not even thinking about you when he made hell. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. So don't go somewhere where you ain't invited. I ain't never like go where I ain't been invited. So don't go somewhere where you have not been invited. Precious Father, I ask that you will let this word not go out and come at void. Let it not fall on deaf ears, Lord. Somebody lost now and know they lost. Somebody going to get up right after this message and go on back their little old way. They're going to do like the sow, go back to the mare. They're going to look like the dog and go back and eat up what they threw up. But God, I pray that you'll prick their heart. That you will stir them up and quicken them like you did a prodigal son. And they'll come to themselves, Lord, and come running as what must I be to save. Let none that hear my voice this evening die and go to hell, God. I snatch their soul out of the hand of the enemy, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would quicken them. Send somebody to witness to them. Send somebody to mama, the daddy, sister, brother, pastor, apostle. Don't care who you're seeing. Send somebody to witness to them, Lord, and prevent that they'll come running, asking, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Apostle Lockerbie, what is your phone number?
910-658-5206. 910-658-5206.
And the name of your church and address?
The Burning Bush Non-Denominational Liberty Church in Irwin, North Carolina. P.O. Box 193, Irwin, North Carolina.
Irwin, North Carolina. God bless you again. You have been listening to the Man of Wisdom, the man of God, the man that can rightly divide the word of God. And we can go behind the veil and hear the truth as the word is expounded. God bless you, Apostle Lockerbie. We ask everyone to tell family, tell friends to tune in on Thursdays from 7 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. Again, that's 7 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. Apostle Alexander Lockerbie and the Burning Bush. God bless you, sir.
God bless.
Amen.
I can hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord. Say thank you, Lord. I want some blessed. God has been so good to me. Have you been good? He's been good to me. More than this whole world, all you could ever be. He's been so good. Help me. You know what he did? Yeah. He dried all of my tears away. Midnight in today. Oh, I'll just say thank you, Lord. I've been talked about, but thank you, Lord. I've been misunderstood, but thank you, Lord. You might be sick, body racking with pain, but thank you, Lord. The bills are due. Don't know where the money coming from. But thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
complain. So instead of complaining, I learned how to lift them hands, look up toward heaven, and pray. I won't complain. I know it's time.